I've been saying for some time now that it's important for us to know what we believe, and you don't want to wait for a crisis before you do that, and now we find ourselves in the middle of a crisis. My hope is that you have taken some of those words to heart and have made some decisions about what it is you believe. At Daleville Christian Church, we always share an affirmation of our faith, and today's is from Ephesians chapter 2. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, meaning of the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, being the Jews. For through him, that is, through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading of God's word for today is just one verse from the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter and just the 19th verse. This is after Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus appears to his disciples, as John recorded it. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. You are familiar with this scene. It is after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. You will recall that Jesus had been arrested by the authorities, properly tried and convicted. Besides, would it really matter if it was a fair trial? All of the authorities, civil and religious, were in favor of Jesus' arrest, conviction, and sentence of death. Jesus had tried to tell the disciples that their time in Jerusalem would go down exactly in this way, but they couldn't hear Jesus on that subject. They couldn't believe Jesus when Jesus told them that he, Jesus, would be betrayed by one of the disciples. They mostly denied it, and Peter got upset about the whole idea, declaring that he would die with Jesus. So it's completely understandable that the disciples, having at this point in John's gospel record, having not all seen the resurrected Jesus at this point, the disciples are behind locked doors for fear of the authorities. Now, I'm well aware that the disciples are not social distancing. There is no plague. However, the disciples believe there is a threat of death, and they are keeping inside to themselves. The Bible states that they are afraid. So there are some parallels to our practices of social distancing. The coronavirus does present the threat of death. We are keeping to ourselves. The locked doors are optional, depending on any level of fear or anxiety that you might have. So the disciples in this scene and we have this in common: behind closed doors with a threat of death coming in. I often point out to the congregation that although the Bible does not emphasize or even mention shame, one has to wonder how the disciples felt about themselves. They did all forsake Jesus at his arrest. They all ran away except Peter, who went the extra distance to openly state within Jesus' hearing that he did not even know Jesus, basically that Peter had never heard of Jesus, saying, "I don't know the man." It isn't beyond a very real possibility that they were all ashamed of themselves and ashamed of each other. They were all present when they all said that they would not betray Jesus, that they would all remain with Jesus. Everybody heard it. The news that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was alive, resurrected, could have been received with joy. But immediately there must have followed some real consternation. What is Jesus going to say to all his former best friends, who, when the crisis came, all ran away from Jesus? And those so-called best friends all ran away from Jesus after they had all guaranteed Jesus they would never do such a thing as run away from Jesus in a time of need. Even if we are talking about Jesus as your best friend, this thought at the very least would bring feelings of remorse and awkwardness to any next conversation with Jesus. In pointing out the disciples' probable sense of shame and remorse, realize how difficult it would be in that condition to take yourself to Jesus. But Jesus, knowing how humanly difficult the situation must have been, takes the first step and goes to, or comes to, the disciples. Not even letting them make the awkward decision as to whether to open the door or not, Jesus let himself into the room where they all are, and Jesus said one word: peace. This, I imagine, provided some immediate relief to the troubled minds of the disciples. And if John, the disciple, is indeed the author of this gospel book named for him, John also forsook Jesus and fled. John, who stated that he would never forsake Jesus, and then before the night was over did forsake Jesus and then ran away, this same John is sure to tell us that what Jesus first and foremost offered to his frightened and ashamed followers, or maybe they considered themselves former followers of Jesus, because until that moment, how could they possibly have known where they stood with Jesus and Jesus' mission? John tells us plainly and clearly that Jesus came to them behind closed doors in fear and in their troubled minds, and Jesus offered peace. John recorded precious words of Jesus, who offered peace, when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus said, "I do not give to you as the world gives." We presently have no peace in this world right now. We are in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. But if the world could offer peace in the middle of this pandemic, Jesus' offer of peace is different. Jesus' offer of peace is better. Jesus' offer of peace is not of this world. And Jesus speaks peace to men who have been, until that moment, afraid, ashamed, troubled. And Jesus spoke peace to men who were behind closed doors. So let me ask, can you identify with the disciples? Are the disciples in this moment recorded as Scripture more like us than we usually imagine? We usually imagine the disciples as brave, death-defying, impassioned about Jesus' message, willing to stake all on the proclamation of this message. Isn't that how you often imagine the disciples? John is telling us that the disciples didn't start that way. The disciples started out by folding like cards. They fell asleep as Jesus repeated request that they pray. John's gospel does not mention this, but Mark and Matthew's gospels do. John quoted Jesus as saying that the time is coming when they, the disciples, would be scattered and they would leave Jesus alone. Then Jesus added, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." John may well be telling us that he, John, did not start out like you and I so often imagine John. John confesses that John, after Jesus' crucifixion, was behind closed doors, afraid and ashamed, troubled in his mind and likely troubled in his heart. And Jesus knew that. John recorded these Jesus words for you and me. Peace be with you. John knew that Jesus' words were also for those who would later believe. John 20, verse 29. Therefore, the peace that Jesus offered is offered still. The peace that Jesus offered the 11, Jesus offers to you. Let this be clear to you, because John in his gospel book wants this to be clear to you. Jesus' greeting of peace is not just a word. Jesus' blessing of peace is a gift. The word spoken, the word of peace spoken even by Jesus' followers, brings the gift of peace, which is a blessing when the blessing is announced. Peace. And surely with Messiah's words, it does bring peace. The peace gift given is from God Himself. It is the peace of God spoken of in the New Testament. This gift of peace comes at many levels. Peace with God through Jesus' sacrificial death for sin, an absence of hostility, an establishment of peace, an establishment of peace of mind, an establishment of peace of heart, in heart, serenity. As a word or gift spoken by Jesus or his followers, it does bestow a peace of mind. In these moments, the ones we're looking at in John's gospel at this moment, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus knew that this peace of mind was desperately needed by those who had followed him and the same ones that had betrayed and abandoned him. They needed peace. So, no matter how or why you might feel that you may have distanced yourself from God, Jesus proclaims to you the gift of peace. So, how do we in the 21st century access this peace which Jesus desired us to have? Well, notice how it came to the disciples. Through Jesus. Jesus is the conduit for the peace that is not of this world. Upon Jesus we will want to focus. Upon Jesus we will need to focus. Jesus was the conduit of this peace which he offered in person. You and I will need to find the times and places when and where we can feel, experience, or appreciate the divine presence of the risen Jesus. For Jesus had said that Jesus would come to you. And Jesus is quoted as saying in John's Gospel, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Other translations use the word comforter, that's the favored translation, but also advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. Recently, I believe I have had physical experiences of peace, and those can be instructive for us. I suffer from a sleep disorder that sometimes requires that I take a muscle relaxant. I've noticed in recent months that upon waking, one of the effects of that pill, or one effect that the pill allows me to have, is a sense of peace. I share this as a reminder that there are prayer practices that are intended to bring our bodies closer to a state of peace or serenity. These are not New Age. These are medically developed physical exercises for suffering patients. But anyone can practice them and benefit from them. Having said that, there are people who, in the most extremes of human experience, like violent combat, suicide, and those who believed they were dying or already dead, have claimed to have experienced peace. Clearly, I'm not suggesting any of those extreme routes to any sense of peace. What I'm trying to say is that while physical exercises can relax the body and anyone can work toward that, and making our own efforts in that direction may help get us to experiencing peace, they are not necessary steps to feeling peace, and neither do they guarantee anyone of a sense of peace. Perhaps I'm restating what I've shared in other sermons, that sometimes when healing someone, Jesus gave instructions, like pick up your bed and walk, or go wash. And once Jesus' disciples couldn't heal a boy, and Jesus explained that prayer and fasting would have been necessary for them to heal the boy, although Jesus healed the boy right away. And in this case, the instructions are for the healer, not the one to be healed. So, since this was Jesus' own practice on occasion to give instructions, you and I may have things we have to do in order to know the presence of Jesus and the moments of peace that Jesus offered. I believe that this is a peace that Jesus wants us, Jesus' followers, to have. And what I see in the Bible is that it isn't a matter of faith that brings peace. Like if you had more faith, you would have peace. Or maybe I don't have enough faith, and therefore I don't have peace. I don't read that in the Bible. Rather, it may be a matter of following Jesus' instructions. Jesus wanted his disciples to have this peace when they found themselves fearful and behind closed doors. So now I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen.